Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
But let's start with the AFC Championship game. And hey, some Tom Brady chat. The Patriots are a 3-point underdog heading to Kansas City. The two head coaches, Bill Belichick and Andy Reid, have history against each other. Belichick's teams have allowed at least 40 points 7 times in his career, and 3 of those were against Andy Reid, including the Patriots' 43-40 win in October. In fact, in 3 of the last 4 meetings between the two, Andy Reid's Chiefs have scored at least 40. So, Shannon, does Andy Reid have Belichick's number?
No. It's a moral function of Kansas City's offensive talent that they put on the football field. And don't feel bad. They score 40 against a lot of people. They average over 35.5 points per game.
Okay.
They're good. If you look at the times that – let's go back to 2014, Skip, when Andy Reid first got to Kansas City. The one thing that they can do that Coach Belichick doesn't like you to do is run the football. That night they ran the football for over 200 yards. Now, Tom Brady really helped them that night, and that's why a lot of people thought it was over for him. He turned the ball over 3 times. It was 27-0 midway through the third quarter. Coach Belichick goes into every ball game, with the exception of the Super Bowl in which they beat the Giants, we're going to shut off your run. Well, he can't shut the run off. They're averaging 155 yards rushing. So now, if you run the football, Coach Belichick's dropped the safety down, says, okay, now try and run the ball. Guess what that opens you up to? The home run plays over the top. Tyreek Hill in 2 ball games, Skip, he had what? He's 14 catches, 275, 4 touchdowns. So now, remember we talked about this on Sunday. San Diego didn't take away anything. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop the pass. And that's what's going on here, Skip, with Coach Belichick. He can't stop the run. And when you can't stop the run, you subject, especially if you got decent quarterbacks. Now, there are some times, Skip, you can't stop the run and the quarterback isn't very good. And so they can't punish you to the tune of 40 yards. But when you can't stop the run, and Kansas City's running, you look at it in 2014, Nile Davis, Jamal Charles, not only were they running the football, they were catching the ball out of the backfield. Hung 41 on them. Again, the opening night, that Thursday night, what was it, last year, Skip, 2 years ago. What happened? Kareem Hunt burst on the scene. 98 yards receiving, over 145 yards rushing. When you can do that, Skip, you're at the team's mercy. And now you throw in my homeboy. Now, this is what we know. Now, they did – oh, I know you like, oh, Alex Smith scored this – when they had
it. Have I spoke?
No, you haven't spoken. Finally. You know what, Jenny? I feel very comfortable. This is so nice of you, Skip Bayless, to allow me to talk without so rudely interrupting like you normally do.
I just had to point out that I have not spoken because you just tried to put words in my mouth.
Because I already know you.
Yep.
The thing is that with Patrick Mahomes is that when you score like they score, you can't dink and dunk the ball. You have to be willing to put yourself in harm's way. And sometimes you're going to turn the ball over, but you're going to get those home run threats down the field. Tyreek Hill in 2 games, each game he has at least a 75-yard touchdown catch. He had, you know, what? Had 143 on the first game they played. This time he had 140-something and 3 touchdowns. So, Skip, when you have that kind of balance, when you can run the football and Coach Belichick wants to stop that run and he can't stop the run, they're immensely talented. Jamal Charles has the highest yards per attempt of anybody with a minimum of 1,000 carries. That's Jamal Charles. That's what they're trying to stop. And then Kareem Hunt, we know what he represented his rookie year because he led the league in rushing. And now you come back. Kareem Hunt was there. He was there the last time they played Skip. Remember that.
Yeah.
And then Tyreek Hill was unbelievable, Travis Kelce. So that's what it is, Skip. I mean, they average 35.5. It's not like all of a sudden they average 20, and then when they play the Patriots, they get 40. Nah, they got 51 against the Rams. They got 40 against the Steelers. They got 45 against the Bengals. They get 40 against a lot of people.
We're not just talking about 2018, though. We're going back to 2014.
I said 20, yeah.
Okay.
That Monday Night Massacre.
So, the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp just beautifully broke down to you exactly why Andy Reid owns Bill Belichick, why he has Bill Belichick's number, and that number is 40.
Oh, my goodness.
Way to go, because what we just saw, all the numbers you just displayed, they all scream that in the end, Bill Belichick has lost his fastball on defense. I don't know why people can't see this, because it has routinely happened, much of it because of Andy Reid, but I can go into several other games in which he has clearly just lost his fastball. These numbers scream that Bill Belichick should thank his lucky stars for the quarterback at age 41 who continues to save his legacy and let him off the hook for these collapses that routinely have happened, especially at the hands of one Andy Reid. So we're not going back to the Super Bowl, the long ago after the 2004 season Super Bowl. That's ancient history, and Belichick had his fastball and defense in those days. But lately, since Andy Reid has been in Kansas City, we have seen again, I just want to drive these numbers home, 41 points, 42 points, 40 points. And in those games, and by the way, there was a playoff game stuck in the middle of them after the 2015 season. It was in early 2016, a divisional round playoff game in Foxborough that went down to an onside kick, just for the record. Right. And I'm about to break that game down in just a second. But in the four games Andy Reid has coached against Belichick's defense while he's been in Kansas City, the Chiefs have gone 27 of 53 on third down. That's 51%. So more than half the time on third down, they convert. Trust me, you're going to be in trouble if that happens on that many third downs. If you allow more than half of 53 third downs to get converted, bad things are going to happen on the scoreboard. And that's what keeps on happening, because in those four games, Andy Reid's Chiefs have put up almost 100 first downs. That's 20. It's 24 a game for four games. And I point out that three of those four games were quarterbacked by checkdown Alex, not by your homeboy, but by checkdown Alex. In those three games that he has played, he's averaged 277 yards passing. His career average, to your point, is 205. Mm-hmm. So against Belichick, he just feasts on Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. And speaking of feasting, I know at the end of most regular seasons, you can say they've got a top five defense, or at least this year, a top 10 defense in score and points allowed, right? Mm-hmm. That's because they feast on the East. That's because they get six games a year against teams that they can deal with.
You see what you did, Skip Bayless? Jenny, you saw what he did. Now, when you want to make the argument that Coach Belichick has lost his fastball, mm-hmm. now it's against the AFC East. But you don't do that when Tom Brady is winning all these AFC East titles. Mm-hmm. You don't mention the Jets. You don't mention Buffalo, and you don't mention Miami. Why?
Tom Brady put this team in position to have the one seed. This game, you know, in your heart of hearts, should be being played in Foxborough on Sunday
Actually,
night, not in Kansas
because
City.
Because they shouldn't have lost to San Diego. I mean, LA Chargers, should they?
The game they shouldn't have blown, thanks to Bill Belichick, was up 33-28 with 7 seconds left in Miami. And Miami was stuck first and 10 at its 31-yard line and somehow managed to pull off a home run play that was not a Hail Mary, that did not require Rob Gronkowski to defend a Hail Mary at the goal line. It required him to make the tackle because he was the last line of defense. Broken down as he is, shell of himself, he can't run, he can't jump, he can't move, and he allowed the, I don't even know what we're going to call it, let's just call it the Miami miracle play, that cost the New England Patriots this home field advantage. This game should be in New England because Tom Brady did his part in that game, played his best statistical game of the year at Miami, where he had lost four of his last five, to put this game at home. So, again, he almost saved Belichick from himself until the Miami miracle occurred. But let's continue to look at the one good game that New England played against Andy Reid, and it was that playoff game, and it was 27-20. So they held Kansas City to 20 points, but look what they didn't hold them to. Kansas City in that game, this is at Foxborough, was 12 of 20 on third down. They ran 83 plays to only 56 for Tom Brady's offense and controlled the football 38 minutes to only 22 minutes. So Tom Brady only had the ball for 22 minutes in that game, and he was just extraordinary. He had a QBR of 87. He saved the day because all the little big throws that he made all counted.
They gave up 20 points. Yeah,
okay, but look what they gave up. That Alex Smith couldn't cash in the red zone.
Aren't they going against the defense?
Even then, they finally drove it at the end of the game, 80 yards for a touchdown, And with 1 minute and 15 seconds left, they had an onside kick that, again, I picked New England that game. And I am covering my eyes because if they recovered, these are the old onside kick rules where it was much more recoverable. Mm-hmm. And guess who recovered it? That guy Gronkowski, who used to be Gronkowski, and he recovered the onside and saved the day in that game.
That red zone, though, but yeah. I'm just going to know, who's responsible for the red zone?
Well, I'm just saying, but look what they gave. You want to talk about bend, but don't break.
Yes.
They didn't break enough, but boy, they bent a lot because 12 of 20 on third down, that's horrendous.
That is a lot of third down, Skip, but you do understand, in 2014, Tom Brady turned the ball over three times. Mm-hmm. They had 0 points midway through the third quarter.
Which game are we talking about?
2014, the Monday Night Massacre.
That was a disaster.
Okay, so you can understand how they could get to 40 if Tom turns the ball over and they're not generating anything offensively. They rushed the ball for over 200 yards.
Okay. If you run the ball. And to your point, again, in the four games against Andy Reid, his team has run the ball an average of 155 yards a game. Well, you're probably going to lose.
Right.
You're lucky that you've pulled out any of those games.
And what did he also try to do, Skip? He says, I'm going to take away your best offensive weapon. Okay, who was Kansas City's best offensive weapon? You're going to take time because, see, Skip, I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this before. Because if you look, let's just take anybody that had a let's look at the Dallas Cowboys and Emmitt and Michael and Troy. Well, Troy couldn't throw the ball like Mahomes, and Michael damn sure couldn't run like Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Okay, Emmitt could run the football. So if you start and say, you know what? With the team weren't really worried about Michael getting over. Now, he's going to run that bang eight, the skinny post. He's going to run that deep five, that comeback. That's Michael Irvin's right. He made a living off that. But Skip, the big play potential. Tyreek Hill is a legitimate touchdown anytime he gets his hands on the ball. So Coach Belichick says, okay, I'm going to stack the box. Do you really want to stack the box against Tyreek Hill and leave him one-on-one with anybody? No, you don't. Coach Belichick, if you look at the way he builds his defense, Skip, for the most part, they are really, really young. He doesn't have a big – he doesn't have a Von Miller. He doesn't have a Khalil Mack. He doesn't have an Aaron Donald.
So whose fault is that? He's the personnel director.
I don't know. Because that's not how he wants to spend his money.
Well, he had Chandler Jones. And
he wants to spread his money over a lot of areas.
I still don't know where the money goes, but that's just me. I don't get it.
In his pocket, he's making a lot of money.
Maybe.
But anyway, Skip, if you look at his team, they're really, really young. And early on, they make a lot of mistakes. But they build and they build and they build. And then when it gets time to late in the season in playoffs, everybody knows where they're supposed to be, and they make plays. So he's going to give you – he doesn't care about yards. He don't care if he finished 32nd in yards. What he cares about is points. As long as I keep your butt out of the end zone, kick those field goals. Because I know I got a guy – while you kicking field goals, I got a guy that's going to go get seven. So that's the way he approaches it, Skip. But don't be a bad
– I don't know how young they are. When I start thinking about Chung and Hightower and Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore. I don't know. They seem like old to me.
No, but see, he sprinkles in Trey Flowers and he gets a Van Noy. Skip, he gets now everybody can't play for him. Remember, Chris Long won the Super Bowl. They wanted him back. He says, no, I need to go where I can be a football player, Skip. I want to rush the passer. You give up anything that you want, you give that up. If you want to make the Pro Bowl, Skip, as a defensive lineman, it's not going to happen if you play for the Patriots. Because you're going to two-gap, you're going to play right down the guy because Coach Belichick don't want you getting up the field and leaving lanes for the quarterback. So it's really, really hard for you to make the Pro Bowl, and you got to be willing to sacrifice. Everybody says they want to win, but very few people are willing to sacrifice and do what it takes to win. And in order to go there, in order to play for him, that's what you have to do.
Okay. Well, all that old, new talent on defense, October 14th at home this year against Patrick Mahomeboy, gave up 31 points in the second half. That's just horrendously bad. That tied for the worst second half points allowed in the whole league this year, in the whole season.
What did they do to Mahomeboy in the first half?
Okay.
Dante Hightower picked him, ran it back down to the seven, and they picked him up in the end zone. That would have assured gotten points, but it held him out of the end zone.
24-9 at halftime.
Yes.
And then here came the Chiefs, and all of a sudden they get ahead 33-30, and Tom Brady happened. And he actually ran for the touchdown that put them back ahead with a 4-yard run. Who knew? And then he threw for 182 yards just in the fourth quarter and outscored Patrick Mahomeboy 16-14 in the fourth quarter. That was just all Brady all the time and saved Bill Belichick again. He saved him constantly. And just think about this. How about the last Super Bowl? Did Brady not do his part to take Belichick off the hook? Because Belichick gave up 41 to Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. 41 in the Super Bowl?
But what couldn't he do? Couldn't stop the run. So okay. Now you can't stop
well, whose
the run.
Fault? That's somebody's fault.
Whoa. Yeah. Now you just said running the football. You just said this yesterday. In the past 2 days, you said running the football and stopping the run is about want to. You said the Cowboy defense didn't want to. Mm-hmm. So now that's Coach Belichick's fault?
Well, it wasn't in the Super Bowl. Nick Foles threw a big party in the Super Bowl.
Because if you can't stop
373.
Yeah. But if you can't stop the run, what can I do to you now? I can play action you. And you talk about play action, Skip, to a team that already can't rush the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And by the way, in the four games against Andy Reid, the Patriots have totaled 6 sacks in 4 games. So whoever, whether it's Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes, they have had time to order Kansas City barbecue before they decide where they're going to throw the football, right?
Yeah.
There's no pressure. So they run it at will, 155 a game, and they throw it at will because you can't get any heat on the quarterback.
But let's go back to that October Sunday night game. You say the score at the halftime was what? 24-9.
Yeah.
So did Kansas City get a touchdown and a safety, or did they kick 3 field goals once they got into the red zone? Because if you say they kicked 3 field goals in the red zone, I need you to applaud and clap for Coach Belichick's defense because they did their job.
They did their job, and they gave up 40 points at home, 31 in the second half.
Okay, let's just say
that's do their job. That, you know what? Those are fireable numbers. All these numbers I've given you, most coaches not named Bill Belichick would get fired over
okay,
all this.
Okay, let me ask you this.
The owner would finally say, this guy just doesn't know what he's doing.
Instead of 24-9 at the half, the score is 20. Oh, because the score easily could have been what? They got a pick. So let's just say for the sake of argument, the score is 24-24. Because instead of kicking field goals, they scored touchdowns, and Mahomes threw a pick in the end zone to end the half. So now it's 24-24. Mm-hmm. Now, Skip, I can say, you know what, Skip, you're right. Coach Belichick's lost it. His defense is not holding up their end of the deal. But they did, because not only did they take the possession, because Mahomes threw that interception, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was either first or second down.
First down.
That Hightower picked it.
Oh, no, that was the first one. I thought you meant one at the end of the half.
The Hightower picked him, I think it was first or second.
I forget what it was, but he ran it back to the 4-yard line.
Yeah.
So it was just a gift.
Hold on, so who did that? Was that Brady? Mm. Was that Gronk? Gronk picked that ball. That's an offensive pick. Mm-hmm. Come on, Skip, look. You can make
31 points in the second half?
But here's the thing.
How many times they pick off Mahomes in the second half? How many turnovers did they force?
None.
But
they
also
Brady
gave up
didn't
a 90,
it all.
They gave up a 97-yard kickoff.
Kickoff return. Yeah. But Skip, here's the thing, is that at some point you got to you keep saying you don't want to give the offense any credit. You just keep giving blame. But you only give credit to Brady, but you don't place blame on the defense. Why is that?
Place blame on what defense?
The opposing defense when Brady is carving them up. You just highlight what Brady's doing. Well, maybe they've lost their fastball.
Okay, Philadelphia had the 5th best scoring defense in pro football last year. And in the Super Bowl,
Brady carved it up for 500.
505 yards. No one in the history of the National Football League has ever thrown for that many yards in any playoff game, let alone a Super Bowl. And he did it on only 28 completions. So if you do the math on that, every time he completed a pass, it was for an average of 18 yards a completion. That is off the charts sensational. That's
so
otherworldly.
Jim Schwartz, that's a fireable offense. Okay. That's a fireable offense
it
with Jim Schwartz.
41-33. He put up 33, by far the most points a loser has ever put
against
in the Super Bowl.
Fifth-ranked defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he's Tom Brady.
Oh, see, now.
At age 40, he is by far the greatest quarterback who ever played. He has gone, eons beyond
but
Joe
see,
Montana.
But see, you make it seem like Mahomes is trash. How could Patrick Mahomes score 31 points?
No,
all he's
going to
do at the age of 23, he just threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
But what just punctures your argument is that checkdown Alex was doing the same thing. He did it 3 times. He did it.
What are we going to do about Kareem Hunt going off for 250 yards opening day?
I don't know. Look, it's just.
Did you know Kareem Hunt could do that?
It's like pick your poison. Sometimes they run it like crazy, and sometimes they throw it like crazy. But they do whatever they take whatever they want from Belichick's defense.
Right.
Do you know the old story? Do you know the expression, the emperor has no clothes?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes.
It's from a Hans Christian Andersen short story called The Emperor's New Clothes. And the weavers who were going to make his new outfit right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They convinced him that they had something so great that common folk couldn't see it, but they really had nothing. So he actually went out and paraded down Main Street with no clothes on, thinking he had on beautiful clothes. Yeah. Well, that's Bill Belichick. He has no clothes. And everybody thinks he still wears beautiful clothes, except me. And I'm saying Brady is wearing beautiful clothes, and Belichick is naked. He's naked. Andy Reid has disrobed him four times. And he's exposed him four times.
So for my clarification, because I'm really not that good. So Coach Belichick has been the head coach in New England for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
20 seasons. That's 16 games. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's 320 total games. Am I correct? So you trying to tell me in 320 games, he's given up 40 points seven times, and now he's lost his fastball?
Last 3 years, lost his fastball.
That's not playing skill,
baby.
You're too big.
Only by the 40-year-old quarterback, now 41. It's just extraordinary what's happening.
So what about when Coach Belichick's defense was giving up 17 points in the Super Bowl, and they lost? Whose fault was that?
When is this?
That was against the New York Giants.
Oh, that's
that was
a long
against
time.
The New York Giants.
That's back in the day.
Oh, right? but hold on. Okay. You got Tom Brady, the all-time greatest.
I said lately he's lost it. Last 3 years, lost his fastball. And the guy who's taken the biggest advantage is Andy Reid in Kansas City. Not Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Andy Reid in Kansas City.
You. 320 games.
Oh,
he's
please.
Given up 40 points.
We're talking
seven
about
times.
The last 3 years. You know what I'm talking about. 41, 42, and 40. And they better hope that it's below zero in Kansas City, because if it's not, he's going to put up another 40.
Got to update resumes around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we do, right?
And that's what Coach Belichick did. He upgraded his with a couple of Super Bowls in the last 3 years. Mm. As a matter of fact, since you said what has Coach Belichick had added to his resume in the last 3 years?
Mm.
Super Bowls.
Mm.
You know. No mercy. And over in the AFC Championship game, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are favored by 3 over the Patriots. But they lost back in October in New England, and Mahomes threw 4 touchdowns but added 2 interceptions in that game. And yesterday, Mahomes said he was confused by the Patriots' defense in that game. New England came out with unscouted looks that, you know, they hadn't shown in weeks or years. We are joined by FS1 NFL analyst James Harrison. Good to have you back with us. I see you brought your homework, your notes. Good.
You did a lot of work.
I'm excited to hear this, but I'm going to start with Shannon.
Yes.
What do those comments from Mahomes tell you?
That Coach Belichick still has it, that he can confuse opposing quarterbacks, considering this young man threw for 50 touchdowns. That's saying something. And that's what happens a lot of times. Alex Gibb, the old offensive line coach, Skip, when he would get up on the board and we'd be going over defense, he said, son, we're not going to chase ghosts because we'd be here all day and night trying to prepare for everything they could possibly give us. Mm-hmm. He says, now, they're going to show us something that we haven't had an opportunity to go over. Mm-hmm. Let's not throw a pick six. Let's not get John hit in the back and get a scoop and score, and let's get TD back to the line of scrimmage, and then we can come over to the sideline and we can discuss it. You see, we showed in that montage, Skip, Dante Hightower fooled him. Thought he could sneak it by him. Dante picked him off, runs it back to the 4. But they were able to get down and sell it down. But in a game of this magnitude, I'm afraid especially against this team. There are some teams, Skip, you can turn the ball over, you could overcome it. The Patriots are generally not one of those teams that if you turn the ball over against them, especially in these moments because they live for this, they make you pay the ultimate price.
Mm.
And they cash in not with field goals, but with touchdowns.
Mm.
And so that's one of the things that he's going to have to guard against. But what it tells me, that's what, you know, he's like, well, hey, they fooled me. They had some looks that we had not seen. And that's saying something, Skip, because the Pittsburgh Steelers ran a coverage against us, Skip. I had never seen the coverage before. And I'm supposed to go down the hole, but against cover 2. And the safety is on the hash. Well, to me, that's quarters coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running basic cross. And Mike, I'm coming to the sideline. Mike, like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? It's quarters coverage. The backside, they're playing half the field. It was cover 6 okay. kicks. Y'all played a lot of that, didn't you?
We played 26.
And so, Skip, so we had to go back to the sideline and says, I don't care. Go down the hole regardless because it's going to open up the backside. And so that's what you have to do. Let's not turn the ball over. Let's get to the sideline, diagram what they're doing and how we're going to attack it, and live to see another day. Hmm. So kudos to him. But to fool this young man with the type season that he has, that just goes to show you old Coach Belichick still got some tricks up his sleeve. Yeah, that would have told me.
Impressive. What do you think, James?
I think it was Mahomes saying that, yeah, I was a little confused that game. And, you know, I showed my age. But at the same time, he still had like 110 passer rating. And he's saying, you know what, those two picks, you confused me. But this time, you're not going to confuse me. Hmm. See, something that Tom Brady does is he goes back lineages. He looks at the D coordinator, and if he D coordinated somewhere else, he says, you know what? This is what they did here. Hmm. He said, they gave me something they hadn't showed me in weeks, maybe even years. He's telling you now, I done went back weeks, maybe even years, to see what you do against a quarterback like me, a quarterback that has the same, you know, qualities that I have, that can run the ball, that can still pass the ball. How do you defend him? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he's telling them without telling them and saying, hey, this week, this time, I'm going to be ready. Mm.
I think he was ready week six at Foxborough. Because Shannon Sharp continues to say, Coach Belichick, he's still got his baseball. This was a first-year starter in his first attempt against a Belichick defense. And early on in that game, Dante Hightower fooled him. And it was almost a pick six. He got it all the way back to the four-yard line. And that was the last time I saw that kid fooled in that football game. Because the one at the end of the half,
that was just a bad
he's
throw.
Not fooled. He's just throwing it to the wrong jerseys. Because there are two Patriot jerseys in between you, Patrick, and your receiver in the end zone. And that's a bad idea. That's just kid stuff, right?
Yep. But, and he threw it across his body.
But he gets away with that a lot. Yes. He gets away with it, but every once in a while you can't. That's why I'm not bought all the way into young Patrick.
Make you cry on that.
Okay. But he was so confused that from that point on, from halftime on, he scored 31 points against Bill Belichick in Foxborough on a Sunday night telecast. That's outrageously good and outrageously wrong for Bill Belichick. So don't tell me he still has his fastball because the kid hung 31 on him in the second half. The kid brought his team back despite his two interceptions, one almost a pick six, a gift touchdown. He brought him all the way back to 33-30 ahead. So it took Tom Brady throwing for 182 in the fourth quarter and outscoring the kid 18-16 in the fourth quarter to pull it out of the fire.
But what if he doesn't? What if Dante Hightower doesn't fool him? Because
maybe Kansas City just walks away with that game, right? Maybe we're having a whole different conversation now.
Skip, a lot of times, coverages, there's only so many coverages you can run. Mm-hmm. Quarters, cover five, cover one, single high, bomb blitz. It's the fronts that can confuse the quarterback because the quarterback's looking at, okay, in this front, they like to play this coverage behind this front. Mm-hmm. Steely, y'all was that 3-4, y'all do a lot of things. Hmm. But the thing is, Skip, is so he was looking at like, okay, this front right here, a lot of times you notice Coach Belichick can have all his line, everybody standing up. Nobody's in the down stance because he don't want you to know. Because you try to identify big. Okay, that's the mic. No, we're going to take the mic to the little guy here. So he has everybody standing up because he's trying to confuse you. Hmm. And so maybe they confuse Pat Mahomes with the front and says, okay, yeah, they gave us this front, but they played this coverage behind it. Pat Mahomes said, y'all won't get me again. Mm. I bet you that.
So how many unscouted looks confused check down Alex Smith back in October or early October of 2014 in Kansas City when they won 41-14? You think unscouted looks really just wrecked him?
He just checked everything down.
But okay. Skip. Are you going to talk about Tom Brady turning the ball over three times?
Hold on just a second. Then how many unscouted looks fooled check down Alex in the opening Thursday night game, you know, that two years
that
ago?
That was Kareem Hunt.
Oh, well, that was 42 points right there. And then 31 points in the second half this year. And how about the check down Alex playoff game at Foxborough in which he went
that game wasn't close.
12 of 20 on third down. And they controlled the football 38 minutes to only 22 for Tom Brady. And Brady still managed to pull it out of the fire, even though it went to an onside kick at the end of the game. But they dominated all the stats that game. And I don't think checkdown was fooled by any unscouted looks in that game. I don't know. I don't know how many unscouted looks you guys threw at Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, but he didn't seem fooled. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong, but he didn't look fooled in that game.
But Skip,
he only scored 41.
And here's the thing, though. Even though you might fool somebody, let me tell you what helps when you fool somebody. If you get pressure, That's the ultimate fool. You can get exotic all you want to. You can do all that, win the dressing. It's just like offensive football. Mm. A lot of it's just win the dressing. We're running the same routes. We're just giving you different formations and doing motion, so get your eyes moving in a different direction.
Okay.
At the end of the day, if I got Reggie White, I ain't got to do a whole lot of looping. Mm. If I got LT, they ain't do no exotic looks with LT.
No question.
Go get the quarterback, LT. Reggie, Bruce, go get the guy. Deion. We didn't say Deion, hey, we want you to disguise that. We want you to hold it. Deion.
Disguise you playing man.
Yeah, hey, Deion just do what he does. But see, he doesn't have that now, Skip. So he has to get exotic. These quarterbacks are too good. Peyton Manning was notorious for that. He'd have his backup to go back and look at every time this coordinator he had faced. Mm. And if he had faced him at another location, I need that too. Mm-hmm. And so now I get an opportunity to see what he likes to do in certain situations.
Okay, so you love Blake Bortles. Ha ha. How many unscouted looks? Wait a second. How many caught Blake Bortles off guard at Jacksonville this year when New England visited and Blake Bortles threw for 376 and 4 touchdowns against Belichick?
I
don't know.
Prepare for Blake Bortles?
Maybe he fools you because he's so unpredictably
right. He actually played a halfway decent game.
How about you're like, hey, Coach Belichick, like you tell me, when Tom Brady has a bad game, he's human. Yeah. Coach Belichick, human.
Well, he's human a lot this year.
Now, you know what? You need to stop.
Matt Stafford threw for 262 and 2 touchdowns. He was fooled.
What's 262?
Yeah. Well, it was enough. They won 26-10. I don't
know. Whoa! Yeah. Hold on. How many points did New England offense score?
20.
Matt Stafford dominated the time of
possession. No. You told me check down Alex dominated the time of possession. So 38 minutes to 20 minutes.
I'm confused on you, Skip. I don't know who you with.
Tom Brady.
That's it. You don't care about nobody else.
I'm not a Patriot fan.
Cowboys.
Wow.
You care about the Cowboys, but
Cowboys,
he only
that's
care about
the ones
Brady.
You shouldn't care about.
Yeah, see? Everybody knows.
They've been hurting you for so long. I don't know how you keep being a fan.
That's a good question. But I am.
He hard-headed.
Committed.
You just like the abuse, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead, let me down again. Are you a Taurus? Because you're really stubborn.
I'm not a Taurus.
You're really stubborn. Your head hard.
I was born in the year of the tiger.
Oh. I feel like I'm around a lot of stubborn Tauruses.
But that's okay. They're going to break. You know what? Eventually. You know what would really hurt it? The Cowboys were to get to the Super Bowl and lose it. Oh, ain't no telling. You might not come in the next.
What has really hurt both of you is that Bill Belichick is getting exposed.
He's
losing his fastball. He's being completely overrated over the last 3 or 4 years. As a personnel director and as a defensive coordinator. Sorry.
He got 2 Super Bowls over those 3 years.
Well, he's got the greatest quarterback ever.
And Brady got the greatest coach ever.
And Tom Brady almost saved his bacon against than the one you played against.
But I want to know why. And Coach Belichick could have like 8 Super Bowl wins if Tom Brady can get him more than 17 points.
Mm. Mm.
If Tom Brady could get him more than 17.
Well, he used to be great, Bill Belichick.
Still is.
Yeah. Mm. Unscouted looks.
It's good. I'm looking forward to this one, James.
Stop.
Good to have you.
Cowboys fan that says Belichick is not great. You think that coach over there is great?
Which coach?
The coach Cowboys got.
I've tried to fire him 29 times.
Yeah, we don't have time to go through all of the layers there, James.
A
fan over here. But I'm glad you came on all week. Good to have you.
No mercy.
Give me the goal and the end game with the WWE.
The goal is not to be champion. And Roddy Piper's son taught me a very important lesson. It's about the stories and the storytelling. And I really want like the WWE and the women's division to be better off because I was there.
I'm gonna tell you what I've noticed, okay? Before we wrap up. First things first, I forgot to tell the world that Rhonda has a donkey. I don't wanna dig into it, I just want y'all to know she has a donkey. What I've noticed is that your story is such a dope story. For you, because you think I'm a bitch. I'm gonna put my shoulders in, all right?
Okay.
Here we go. Never before.
That was a clip from Kevin Hart's series, Cold as Balls. You can check out new episodes on laughoutloud.com. Kevin, welcome to Undisputed.
Wait a second. You didn't put your shoulders in against me when I sat in that tub.
It was different.
A few months ago you were afraid you would start losing even worse
if you put
your shoulders in. Am I right?
It was different with Rousey. It was different. There was a little bit of fear that was in my heart. There were some threats that y'all didn't see there. Now, did they show the donkey just now?
Did they show? Okay, let me make sure that people understand. She really does have a donkey.
Really?
And I know there's a community where we used to refer to donkey as a behind on a woman. I want to make sure it's very clear. I'm talking about a real donkey.
Okay?
Thank you. That's very clear.
I appreciate
it. It's a live donkey that she owns. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a butt. Okay, let me clear. You gotta clear it up. Everything has to be cleared up. All right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, now go ahead and we can dig into this.
So I want people to understand that the object of Cold as Balls is to put somebody in the tub, like me, and you freeze their you-know-whats off, and after a while, their brain freezes, and they can't fight you anymore. And then you just try to run over them.
It's almost like what happened to you. You just lasted a little longer.
I lasted the whole time, unfortunately for you.
Skip, what you love to do is debate, and you think facts equal right, and they don't. I think they do. He comes with facts and percentages, and he thinks that the facts and percentages can equal mental persuasion to ultimately say, Skip, you're right. But when you go up against a weapon named Kevin Hart, you're dealing with more than that. You're dealing with personality, and you're dealing with charm. And I was able to flip some of those facts and come and Skip in a way that he's never been hit before. Mm. And he got baffled a little bit. You took a couple punches, Skip. Mm. You definitely took a couple punches.
Mm. I don't remember
you
any of
those. You
took
some punches, Skip.
Not one of them.
I dug into Skip's career. Mm-hmm. That's what I dug into. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has dug into
Well, I'll just dug into what happened this last football season. And the last time I checked, my Dallas Cowboys beat the Philadelphia Eagles twice.
Here we go.
Twice. How could that happen to the defending champs?
Here we go.
Carson Wentz, W-I-N-C-E, because you wince every time you watch Carson Wentz. Okay. Am I right about that?
I knew this was coming, Skip.
Okay.
You didn't think I knew this was coming, Shannon?
You
I knew
no
this was coming.
You know we're coming.
I'm well prepared for this moment, okay? First of all, when you faced us the first game, we weren't the same Eagles that we were last season. Mm. We were still developing. We were trying to find ourselves. For some reason, we lost our mojo, which is understandable. Mm. It happens. Mm. When you lose your mojo, the best thing in the world is to find it. And guess what we did, Skip? Mm. We somehow found it. We somehow picked ourselves up, and we put it together.
With
we put
the backup on, quarterback.
I don't refer to that man as a backup quarterback. I refer to that man as the heart and soul of that football team.
Thank you.
Okay?
I agree.
I refer to him as the heart and soul of that football team. But I also do understand and respect my starting quarterback, Carson Wentz. I will not let the media try to destroy our unit. Because that's what they do. They try to destroy you. They try to put you up against each other. Mm-hmm. That's what the public does as a man who's been under. That's what he tries to do. I've been under public fire before, so I know how to handle it. So I want to make sure that my two quarterbacks know how to handle this moment. Understanding it's a big moment for both of you. I want the best for Carson Wentz. I want the best for Nick Foles. But what I want people to do is understand and respect Nick Foles and what he did.
Who's the better quarterback?
Who's the better quarterback? Carson Wentz is the better quarterback.
He is not the
Nick
better.
Nick Foles, under pressure, responded and became a great quarterback.
Thank you.
Now, that doesn't mean that Carson Wentz is not an amazing quarterback, because he is. Carson Wentz gave us an amazing football season. Mm. An amazing football season.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, after that football season, got hurt and didn't play for I don't know how many weeks or months or whatever. Coming back, he's going to be rusty. He's not going to be the same Carson Wentz that got us a crazy string of wins without losses. Mm-hmm. So I get the rust. Then he got hurt again. Nick Foles is used to coming in and say, oh, my God, I get to respond again. I get to be great again. And he did that. He stepped up to the plate. Unfortunately, this year we didn't get it done. But that man showed that he is a pressure.
It wasn't Nick Foles' fault. It was Alshon's fault. It went right through Alshon Jeffrey's hands.
I'm not going to deny that that play could not have changed the game.
That we
could have possibly moved on. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen. So, naturally, you move on from it.
Now you're stuck.
Jeffries is a great receiver, and he had an amazing game.
No, he did. I agree
with that. Second half, we didn't have a great game. First half, he had an amazing game. We were moving.
Now you're going to have to let Nick Foles go win someplace else, and you're going to be stuck with Carson Wentz, who's never taken one snap in one playoff game.
He used the word stuck. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be stuck with Carson.
Stuck with him.
Great quarterback. You said he was great.
You see what he's doing?
Mm-hmm. I see.
We're not stuck with Carson Wentz. So I want you to remove that word, okay?
You know in the back of your mind, I nailed it.
Stuck makes it seem like we're in a bad place.
Yep.
We're not.
Yeah.
We're not in a bad place. And I'm going to back the decision of our GM, of our coaches. I'm going to ride with them because that's what real fans and supporters do.
That is correct.
You don't go against and create more conflict. If the decision has been made to go with Carson Wentz, then daggone it, we're going to go with him and we're going to ride.
Yep.
And we're going to be okay. And Nick Foles, whatever opportunity comes that man's way, it's going to be an amazing opportunity that's well-deserved.
Yeah.
So with that being said, the Eagles will still fly.
They'll
we will still
fly.
Is that how they sound? That sounds like a dying eagle to me.
I got eagles that fly over my house every morning. That's what I hear. Yeah. We will still fly.
You're a little hoarse.
Well, we will still be okay.
This year didn't turn out the way you wanted it to.
No, it didn't.
Last year sure did.
Yes, it did.
What was that moment like for you?
Are you talking about beating the Patriots?
Winning the Super Bowl, regardless
Super
of who
Bowl.
You beat.
Okay. Regardless of who
both
you
beat. Both of them, both of them.
Right, let's just dig into it.
Okay.
You know, I'm a man of history. I love witnessing history. I love making history. I think Tom Brady is, you know, greatest quarterback to do it, man.
Thank you.
And he was in a position to make more history.
Right.
And to see history made by preventing history that was supposed to be made and being personally attached to the history that was made, I don't think it gets any better.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets any better. I remember on bottle number 3 of tequila, all right? This is bottle number 3.
Bottle number 3.
Bottle number 3, because I was having that good of a time. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I saw and I was witnessing the Philadelphia Eagles do what they did. My city is finally getting its just due. We are finally shining. This is long overdue. Since I've been around, I haven't seen this. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I get to say that I was a part of it. Best day of my life. Flying. I'm all over the place.
You almost got on the podium.
Almost. So close. Almost. Stupidest thing I ever tried to do. Thank God that security did what did. Okay.
What would happen if you got on the stage?
It could have been career damage. I would have got on that stage. I would have fell off. Who knows what I would have done? Got up there and start cussing. I don't know, man. I don't know. But I'm glad it didn't happen. But I'm glad that the win came my way. And this year, it would have been nice to get back there. It would have been nice to get back there and do the
same
thing.
Ooh, Super Bowl in Atlanta. Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I already had a suite on hold.
You did?
Yeah, I already made the calls. Hey! Two things. First, I want y'all to talk to the security staff. let them know this year if it happens, I'm going to need to get through. That's the first thing.
Okay.
But, you know, I may still go. I don't know. It depends on who's playing. It's just a bittersweet because I felt like we should have been back there. So
it's starting to feel like Tom Brady might get back there. The New England Patriots might get back there yet again.
What are the key words in that sentence?
Might.
There you go.
Yeah.
Meaning that it doesn't have to happen.
So are you betting against the New England Patriots at Kansas City?
I want to make this perfectly clear. Once again, I'm a man that loves history.
Yeah.
I would love to see Tom Brady add more
okay.
to his dynasty. Mm. But then on the flip side of that, you got another individual that can make history as well.
Yo, Pat, my homeboy.
You got another individual that can make history as well. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying out with the old and in with the new, but I'm saying that when the new is coming through with the confidence that this man has, there is no, I don't think there's a better situation to root for. Young quarterback.
Yeah.
Young quarterback, young black quarterback, get in there. Mm.
Do it.
Do it.
Yep.
Get it done.
Yep.
Great history. I'm going to ride with you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, I'm going to say, man, I can't wait to talk to Skip.
So you are rooting for Patrick Mahomes.
I am rooting for Patrick Mahomes to make history. This doesn't mean that I...
And rooting against you.
Yeah,
you are betting against the one man
you
in
keep
sports.
Saying betting.
You
keep saying
do
betting.
Not bet betting, against.
Betting makes it seem
you're
like
betting
I
your
a financial
pride.
Investment.
You're betting your national
rooting.
TV pride.
I'm rooting.
Yeah.
I'm rooting. Everybody has the right to root.
Well, you openly admitted
right
that
root.
You're rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs,
yeah.
right?
Well, you act like that's a bad situation if I want to say who I'm rooting for.
Is it possible that in your heart of hearts you have some hate for the New England Patriots just because you're sick and tired of them being in the Super Bowl?
You think I have hate for the New England Patriots because they were caught cheating and doing all that? That there is some hate in me? Do you think that I have a vindictive bone in my body to go
yes,
taking
I
air
do.
Out of footballs is wrong?
Whoa!
Doing other things?
Or
a coach sneaking and understanding what the plays are for another one by having spies? No, not me. That's not in my body. I want the Patriots to do whatever they have to do to win. Some people want every advantage that they can get. The New England Patriots, those people? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'm they just... sure didn't cheat against your Eagles last year because your Eagles scored 41.
Well, that's because they had to play honest.
Yeah.
Not saying that they played dishonest before. I'm just saying when forced to play honest, maybe things are different. I think this year we've seen the football team honestly having a very amazing season. I've seen Tom Brady do what he normally does, which is just simply impress and be great. But then I'm watching Kansas City in the first hump that they needed to get by. They got by. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't do what they normally do, which is fold in the postseason in that first game. The confidence level that I'm seeing in that football team and in that quarterback is like no other. I'm a confident guy, Skip. I know what confidence does.
Yeah.
I can tell an individual by how they carry themselves. Yeah. Their shoulders.
Yeah.
Shoulders say a lot. Shannon, every time I see you on this show, your shoulders are broad. You're here. When you talk to Skip, you're here, Shannon. Yeah. Some people come right here and they slunched.
Yeah.
That's a defeated individual. You're defeated right there.
That's how you come on this show.
I come here shoulders prideful and upright every time.
Yeah.
That quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, I've not seen that man's shoulders slouch one
really.
Time.
Me either.
All I know is I still got the best quarterback in the NFC East, and that's all I care about. Yes, he is. Yep.
Right. Is he really
yes, he
the
is.
Best quarterback?
Dak Prescott is the best quarterback.
He said that out loud.
Yep.
Wow.
Says it a lot around here.
Wow.
He proved it again. He beat Carson Wentz twice this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Game over.
I will
Game
say
over.
This about Dak Prescott. Yep. That man has an amazing career in front of him.
He does. Okay.
I think using the word best is unfair to him. Because what you're doing is putting him under a microscope.
Oh.
And you're making people look at him differently because you're using the word best. But when you use the words potential, when you use the word could be, going to be, people have to go and step. You got to say, hey, man, right now that man is doing his thing.
Right. Mm.
And I can't wait to see what his career unfolds to be. Mm. But you using the word bet, make people do this right here, Shannon.
You put him on the microphone.
Yeah, you put him on the microphone. Is that fair to him?
Yes.
If I was a fan, I wouldn't do that to my quarterback.
No mercy.
Well, our next guest caught the game-winning touchdown in Super Bowl 42 to beat the undefeated Patriots. On Saturday, he'll be coaching in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, which you can see right here on FS1. So, Plaxico Burress, welcome to Undisputed.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Thanks for joining us. So, how did you get involved as a coach for this game?
Well, a year ago, I did an intern in Arizona Cardinals with Bruce Arians.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call from NFLPA. The NFLPA to participate in this game, and this is a great opportunity. I think what separates the NFL PA collegiate game from the other bowl games is that when you have the likes of Darrell Green, Ed Reed, myself, Andre Johnson, Jackie Slater, some of those coaches that can have an influence and kind of mentor these guys going into the NFL draft, it really helps because those other bowl games don't have Hall of Fame caliber coaches and mentors, so it's exciting.
Do you want to coach?
Mm-hmm. It sounded cute to myself when I really wanted to get into it, but it's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work, and obviously I love the game, but you know, spending a lot of time with my family, you know.
Yeah. These kids today, man, right?
Oh my goodness, who you telling? Yeah, but it's a great experience for me and all of the guys and seeing some of this great young talent, you know, blossom and helping those guys fulfill to chase a dream and fulfill it. It's good.
That's great.
A lot of these guys are from the lower levels, FCS. Some of the guys are not gonna. And Skip, I remember going to the East West Shrine Game, and I was one of the few Division II guys going, and I didn't go to Michigan, so I didn't have scouts at every practice.
Yeah.
So to get in front of somebody,
you did have one thing on your side.
I had a big brother.
Well, go ahead.
But I had to do it because they're like, oh yeah, that's their little brother, but he in Green Bay and they're not going to trade him to us. So I wouldn't know what this guy can do. But it gives these guys an opportunity to get NFL scouts in front of them, and as Plex said, it also gives them an opportunity, guys that played in the league. Right. They can talk technique. They can talk, okay, this is what we did in college.
Yeah.
Okay, Plex can say, nah, but in the NFL, you can't run it like that because these guys are too good and you tip that rod off. So it's great, and I agree with you. The time and the patience that it would take to coach.
Yeah.
Mr. Burress, take us back to that magic moment, that Super Bowl week of 42 in Phoenix, Arizona. And I don't remember which day it was, Tuesday or Wednesday. Somebody asked you about the game you were about to play against Tom Brady and company, and you made a prediction. You said you were going to win the game 23-17. Do you remember that moment?
I do remember the moment because we got off the bus and checked into the hotel, and I just happened to be walking casually through the hotel.
Which day?
This was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Because we had just checked in on Tuesday, and I walked into the hotel, and this guy just walks by me, and he was like, are you guys going to win? I'm like, of course. The score's going to be 23-17. And I thought nothing about it.
Was he a media member?
And he just happened to be a part of the national media.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up the next day, and my phone was buzzing and ringing. And they're like, man, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. And I turned the TV on, and it was like international headlines.
That's great.
But, hey, I projected 23-17, and the score ended up being 17-14.
But they didn't even get to 17.
Yeah, yeah,
but the punchline of the story is then, of course, Tom Brady was asked about Plax's prediction, and he laughed out loud and said, oh, we're only going to score 17? And he made a joke about at least he could have made it 45-42 to give us some credit, because that was the 2007 Patriots offense, which had averaged 37 points a game. So how fearful were you going to practice the next day or whatever? Did you?
We weren't fearful at all because
but
we
how
had...
about you with your teammates? Did anybody?
Oh, no, we weren't fearful at all. Okay. I mean, everybody just kind of rallied behind me, and our mindset was, listen, we just paid these guys a few weeks ago in week 16.
Yeah.
And our mindset was, you know, don't turn the football over and don't beat ourselves. And we had one interception, and they ended up kicking a field goal when we threw that interception, and they ended up winning that game by 3 points.
Yep.
So,
and you had, it had been 38-35 at your place in the final regular season game, which gave you a feel for, wait a second, we can hang with them, right?
Yeah, because we didn't have to play our starters because we were already had already clinched going out the wild card, going to play Tampa Bay. And our mindset was, hey, we going to go out here and play this Week 16 game and try to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, we wouldn't take in the back seat to anybody. Mm.
So Brady goes down and scores, and it's 14-10 with a couple of minutes left.
Right.
Hit Randy Moss's. You would predict he would.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Eli pulls off what I consider the luckiest
why
play.
Why do you keep calling it luck, Skip?
Every
time
guess what?
I sit with you
because
at this table, man, you
Eli
keep calling
called
it luck.
It
is
he agreed
not
with
luck,
me.
Man.
Where were you on the helmet catch play?
Well, I was actually on the backside, you know, clearing out on the backside of the double team. I just seen them rear back and throw the ball, and I was like, no.
In the middle of the field.
In the middle of the field. And David Tyree ran the wrong route.
Did he?
Absolutely, he ran the wrong.
Where was he supposed to go?
I don't know, but he wasn't in the right place.
Okay. And then what was your reaction when it sort of stuck in his helmet?
I actually couldn't believe it. I actually didn't see the helmet part of it until on the Jumbotron, because I couldn't see the actual helmet catch where I was at. But when I saw it, I just couldn't believe it.
You're like, yeah, we're going to win the game now. Yeah. If he catches the ball on his helmet and Rodney can't get it out and it doesn't touch the ground, we're going to win this.
Yeah, Asante Samuel drops
an interception,
which he does not do.
He does not do.
And we catch that ball. And I tell everybody that Rodney Harrison, I think, was one postseason interception from being the all-time leader in interception.
Right.
So he went for the football.
He did.
I think if Rodney Harrison just runs underneath David Tyree, he doesn't make that play.
Right.
But Rodney Harrison wanted that pick.
And then a couple plays later, you do not drop the ball. You catch it. Do you remember which route you ran?
It was just an X fade.
Against bomb blitz.
Yeah, it was cover zero. I just couldn't believe that they would put me in a situation at the end of the game and go zero coverage.
Do you remember who was on you?
Oh, yeah, Ellis Hobbs. How can I ever forget? And Rodney Harrison actually says, we did a film directed by Spike Lee called The Greatest Catch Ever, and they went to Rodney Harrison's house and interviewed him about that play. And Rodney Harrison actually went up to the late Junior Seau and said, hey, man, we got to check out of this defense.
Really?
And Junior Seau was like, man, I can't check out of it. Because
on your play.
Yeah, and Rodney Harrison knew that. It was single cover zero. And I was watching film on Ellis Hobbs all week. And he backs it to the goal line and stops his feet. And I said, man, listen.
Expecting the ball to come out. Expecting you're going to run the slant. Because most people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, if he stops his feet on the goal line, like I've been watching on film for the last 2 weeks, I'm going to just run.
Did you make eye contact with Eli before the snap?
No, when I broke the huddle, he grabbed me. He said, hey, if you get single coverage, I'm throwing it.
Whew.
And I was like, all right. I said, man, listen, they're not going to single cover me right now. And it was worse than single coverage. It was zero.
Oh, it's so cool to think about.
That's zero coverage, Skip. Let people know we call it bomb blitz zero coverage. There's nobody in the middle of the field.
No help.
Everybody's man-to-man, they're coming. And that's why Rodney wanted to check out of it, because in a situation like that, you don't want to make the throw. So the throw is so easy. Plex is 6'5". Ellis Hobbs is 5'8 and a half, 5'9". And so even if you make it a jump ball situation, it doesn't favor him. Now, Plex ran the X fade. He can run the slant. He stopped his feet anticipating the ball's coming right now. But once he stopped his feet, he couldn't restart again because Plex had already started it into his fade. So now it's a touchdown. It's over.
Yeah, so he's basically using the sideline as a man.
Yep.
And there's no inside help.
How surprised are you, looking back at that game, that that same number 12 for New England is still at it in Foxborough and going to Kansas City?
I'm not surprised at all, to be honest with you. I've been playing against Tom Brady at Michigan State in Michigan since 1998. And I've been watching him perform these miracles and go out and perform at a legendary level for the last 20 years. And, you know, he just has a chip on his shoulder that you can't knock it off. Mm-hmm. Eight straight AFC championship games. That's unbelievable. Those things don't happen in this business.
No.
Eight AFC championship games in a row.
Can you see him playing till 45 as he says he will?
I believe him. I believe him because they will find a way to protect Tom Brady. If you protect him, I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. And me and Tom Brady was in the same draft in 2000. And we were the last two guys playing for my draft. Out of 255 players, we were the last two players, and he's still playing.
He's still playing.
Can you imagine that? He's still playing.
And the quarterback who threw you that football to win that game, Super Bowl 42, is still playing for the New York Football Giants.
He is.
And you
not very well, I might add.
I knew that was coming.
What did you see from Eli this year, and what do you think about his chances next year?
From what I'm hearing and from what I understand, he's going to come back and play another year. That's what I'm hearing, and that's what I understand. But they have to find a way to protect him first and foremost. Because if you can't protect him, then he can't go out and perform.
Right.
I mean, we all see that. And Saquon Barkley, I mean, who knew this guy was going to be that good? Oof. Odell Beckham, we got to get him back on the field healthy. They have generational talent, but at the quarterback position, we just got to find a way to solidify that position. Protect them. And my mindset is if Dwayne Haskins is available at the sixth pick, we got to take him.
You got to go there.
What about if Kyler Murray is available?
I say Dwayne Haskins is a better fit for that offense.
And I can't completely disagree with what Coach Shermer's old school drop back conventional. Dwayne would be a better fit for them. But listen, if you put Kyler with Saquon and Odell, New York would go crazy.
Yeah, the college game is slowly but surely becoming the pro game.
It is.
Case in point, Lamar Jackson. You look at the Baltimore offense before Lamar was implemented in that offense, it was a drop back offense. Yeah. Under center, drop back offense. And a week later, it's a whole new system.
It's all zone read.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
A whole new system was put in. When Lamar Jackson came into that offense. Mm-hmm. So it may happen. Kyler Murray may end up at the New York Giants, but from a passing standpoint with, you know, Sterling and Evan and Odell, Haskins. Right. Mm.
You have some familiarity with Pittsburgh. What do you think about the situation that's going on with A.B., Antonio Brown?
it's a lot of things going on behind the scene, from what I understand. I actually talked to Antonio last night.
Did you?
And just trying to, you know, see where he's at mentally, you know, just trying to tell him to stay sane. And it's a lot of, you know, pieces, you know, people are saying this and that. And I'm just telling him, hey, man, you know, just stay sane. And, you know, he's going back, him and Emmanuel are going back and forth.
They are.
Twitter, like, those guys used to be so tight, and you hate to see those kind of things going on. And, Mr. Rooney came out and said he didn't see him in training camp in August. So I don't know what's going to happen. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. The standard is the standard. I had the opportunity to play there seven years, and they're not going to bend for anybody.
Hmm. So gut feeling he's gone next year?
I don't know. I don't know where they go offensively if he's not there.
What you mean where they go? They got Juju. James Washington, they drafted him. You know where they going. You just said the standard is the standard. They going to move on.
The standard is the standard. But I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to be there or not. If Mr. Rooney says he's not, then he's not. But you just don't know.
And it doesn't feel good to hear that either from the guy that's supposed to be supporting you. Either way, so good to have you today. Really interesting.
Way to go. Good stuff.
Love going down memory lane and watching that one. I know it was painful for Skip over here, but.
Well, it's just the lucky Skip.
Good to have you, and best of luck this weekend. Make sure to check out Plaxico in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl this weekend, Saturday on FS1.
No mercy.
Brought up the Cowboys.
Yes, thank you.
Let's talk about it.
Let's.
We are done watching them this season, but that doesn't mean that we are done hearing from Jerry Jones. Yesterday, Jerry said he agreed with the report that the Rams offense could read the Cowboys' defensive signals. He also said the field was slippery and his team didn't have enough traction. And Jerry showed support for Jason Garrett, saying if Jason was part of the coaching carousel this offseason, he would have had 5 offers. Shannon, do you have a problem with anything Jerry said yesterday?
Yes, I got a problem. I got a problem with everything that he said.
Everything.
Well, that's shocking.
It's never, he doesn't want to give the opposing team any credit. Mm. It's never we got outplayed. It's always, well, I would have gone for it on fourth down or everybody was slipping. Well, I'm glad. I am so glad the Rams played in a dome. And then when the Cowboys got the ball, they had to go outside. Mm. Would Jerry Jones please stop that? Would fire your equipment manager because you have the same equipment that the Rams had. And so whatever they checked, whether you had on speed TDs or you had on 7 studs, it didn't matter. They were rooting you up out of there. Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing, Jerry. You bring a little news to you, Jerry.
Okay.
See, the way you view Jason Garrett and the way the league views Jason Garrett is something entirely different. Jenny, I got two very prized positions. Of all the things I own, more valuable than my Super Bowl rings, more valuable than my Hall of Fame ring. One is a plant that I got from my grandmother's funeral. I've had it since 2011, Skip. The plant's about, the horticulturist told me, it was about 6 months old when I got it, maybe a year old when I got it. So it's about 8, 9 years old now.
Wow.
That, and I got a picture of my grandmother sitting on a cooler fishing. They're not going to hang that in any museum. The value is with me, sentimental value.
Okay.
Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, value is to you. Nobody else views him like you view him. I give you another example, Skip Bayless. Mike McCarthy was the coach for the Green Bay Packers for 13 years. Mm-hmm. 9 times he went to the playoffs. He went to 4 conference finals. He won a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy was in contention for 1 head coaching job. Jason Garrett has won 2 playoff games. And you think somebody was going to hire him? Jerry, only you view Jason Garrett in that light. So in other words, the sentimental value that he has is only to you. He's not valuable to anyone else. Everybody knows he's not coaching the team. You are. You need to stop this chicanery. You can't fool O'Shea Sharp. Not all of a sudden, yeah, they knew our signal. But in 92, they used to know our signal when we had him in Detroit. Guess what, Jerry? You know what? I don't like breaking news because that's not what I do. I don't break news. I'm not an insider. You're not that 90s team. Contrary to what you think, Dak Prescott is not Troy Aikman. Ezekiel Elliott is not Emmitt Smith. And Amari Cooper is not Michael Irvin. This is not the 90s Cowboys 2.0. Once you come to that realization, you'll be just fine. So, Jerry, you need to stop this foolishness. Do what you always do. My grandma used to say, boy, if you do what you always done, you'll get exactly what you've always got. So guess what the Cowboys are going to get, Skip? What have they done for the last 8 years? They'll get what they've always gotten. Keep Jason Garrett, and you'll get exactly what you've been getting. You'll play well enough. You'll probably miss the playoffs next year. The following year, you'll make the playoffs. You'll win a game. Maybe not. And Jerry will be just happy. But you're not going nowhere. Sit back and like it. And I told you this. Told you. It hurt, doesn't it, Skip? That you should be playing the NFC Championship game. You should. That's where the Cowboys should be with all that talent. All them Pro Bowlers. Even Van Der Esch now is in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence. So in other words, you guys have as many Pro Bowlers on the field Saturday night as the Rams. And they ran.
No, they actually had 5-4. No, 6-4 if you add Van Der Esch.
So now, I didn't know this.
6-4.
They say Dallas. When somebody runs over you, they say it's roughshod. We say roughshod. They ran roughshod over y'all.
I use that in a tweet. Yeah. Rough shod, S-H-O-D,
yeah,
shod.
Yeah, I thought it was, we don't say shod.
Okay.
We don't do correct. We do rough shod.
First point of order on Mike McCarthy. He was viewed by the league as damaged goods because he fell apart with the greatest thrower of the football ever, Aaron Rodgers. So what went on there? Do we want to get take a chance on that guy who couldn't even get along with the biggest diva who ever played quarterback in this league?
No.
Aaron Rodgers? That was just a travesty, what happened to Mike McCarthy. He deserves a job, and I'm not sure Jason Garrett would have had five offers, but trust me, he would have had two offers.
From who?
And God rest the soul of your grandmother, but she did not coach the Dallas Cowboys to not one or two, but three division titles. That's what Jason Garrett did. So he's valuable
to... With that talent, all you got is division titles to show me?
But think about this. Just step back. I know that you got to sift through all your Cowboy hate, which is just spilling out of you
I'm
right
coming
now.
Back. I'm sipping.
You're
I'm
so back. Happy that they're not plaguing
off.
You anymore. Yeah. Just think about this.
Now I'm back.
Okay.
Jason Garrett is still 77-59 as the head coach of the Cowboys. Do I like him? I don't. I've tried to fire him 29 times on this show.
You have.
But he's 77-59. So in a vacuum, if you put him on the open market, somebody's going to sit back and say, he won three NFC Easts?
With that title and no Super Bowls?
Wait a second. In 2014, he goes 12-4, and then 2016, he goes 13-3, and then 2018, he goes 10-6, and then wins a playoff game. He's 2-3 in the postseason, which is not 0-5. My point is, we look at some of the people who got, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury got a head coaching job. And I like Cliff Kingsbury a lot, but I don't know how he got that job.
Because they believe he can coach. Think about this, Kim. In 2014, the three offensive linemen made the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
So did Dez, so did Jason Witten, and so did DeMarcus, so did DeMarco Murray.
All right.
So you got seven Pro Bowlers
on
the offensive side of the football, and you win how many playoff games? Okay, you follow that up. Guess what? When Zeke comes in, you got another six guys go to the Pro Bowl. And you win how many playoff games? Zero. So now, again, you got two offensive linemen in the Pro Bowl. You got Zeke in the Pro Bowl. And you win one playoff game. So I'm just trying to figure out. Let me ask you a question, Skip Bayless. Let's just say for the sake of argument, because that's what we do up here. We argue.
Yep.
You know what? Arguing is such a harsh term. I hate arguing, especially with the commercial that came out. So
I like to argue, but that's just
I like to say debating.
Debate.
Debate sounds so much better. It's a healthy discussion, and that's what we do.
Yeah. Debate.
When my therapist says, Shannon, say healthy discussion.
Oh, did you just admit that you...
My therapist says, Shannon...
Really?
Yeah, getting in touch with myself.
Yeah, you just went Tony Soprano.
Yeah, but anyway, she said,
Shannon,
healthy discussion.
Okay.
What would Sean McVay do with that kind of offensive talent?
I don't know. He's got plenty
ooh,
on his own.
I mean, think about it, Skip Bayless. You had those three offensive linemen.
What are you talking about, Sean McVay? You already told me he's got the best running back in football.
He do.
And you think Jared Goff's way better than Dak Prescott. So what are you talking about?
No, I'm saying if he'd had that,
Brandon
that talent,
Cooks and Robert Woods.
If he had that talent in 2016 with his imagination and motivation. You say he can motivate. You say your guy can't motivate.
Yeah,
that's what you say.
He cannot. I don't like my guy, but trust me, my guy would have gotten offers on the open market because there's a dearth of available coaches.
Yeah, but they don't.
They're all just desperate
Jerry
and scrambling.
Jerry is coaching. See, they're giving Jerry all the credit with none of the accountability.
Okay.
See, all the losses go on his resume, but everybody know behind the scenes, like you tell me, puppet.
I agree. I wish somebody would hire him away.
No, keep him there.
Love him there.
Yeah, I do.
Does Jerry live in the past in the 90s? Yeah, he does to a certain point. But what did I tell you yesterday before Jerry uttered these words? I told you the 90s Cowboys, everybody, I said exactly to you on the show yesterday what Jerry Jones then said on his radio show, which is in the 90s, everybody knew everything we were doing. We were so simple, we telegraphed everything. Yeah. They didn't try to cover up their signals. I told you, North Turner told me after the first Buffalo Super Bowl, they knew everything. They certainly knew run or pass. They had binoculars on me, and whatever I would call, they would know whether we were going to run or throw. That's a big deal in a football game to have that advantage.
Do you realize what you have? You think about, you got three Hall of Famers.
Hey, I'm just saying, that's why I told you yesterday. They did not care about tells or secrets or
all you're doing is validating my point now. Because your offense isn't that good.
Yeah,
you can't tell.
Okay, now we're getting to the third point here. I told you, the most shocking outcome of a first half of a football game was Saturday night right here in Los Angeles at the
Why were you surprised?
Coliseum. because the Dallas Cowboys had been one of the best defenses against the run all year. They had just stifled Seattle's number one rushing attack. And when New Orleans came in with, I think they were the number three rushing attack on that Thursday night game, they just shut it down. They held it to 65 yards rushing because they're really good against the run. So it was as inexplicable a first half outcome as I've ever seen because I couldn't process it. And don't give me boy genius Sean McVay.
Yeah, baloney. Boy genius.
Baloney.
Boy wonder.
My team, A, did wonder not key. Show up. It was more psychological and motivational.
Why didn't you show up? Whoa. That, hold on. You used that excuse against Indy.
Yeah.
Now, this is the playoffs.
No,
these games matter.
I used it validly against Aaron Rodgers in the playoff game at Jerry World.
But guess what? You know what the Rams did? Mm-hmm. They took DeMarcus Lawrence theory. What you do is when you hit a mofo in the mm-hmm. mouth, yeah. and then later in the game, you can choke his you-know-what out, Skip okay. Bayless. So they hit him in the mouth, and then third and fourth quarter, they choked him out.
Oh, did they choke him out?
Choke
it was an eight-point game when it was early in the fourth quarter, when it was fourth and one at the Rams' 35-yard line. That's choking him out, isn't
choked
it?
Choked him out.
And Jason Garrett calls Ezekiel up the middle. And now let me get to the traction point.
Sure.
That is a valid excuse, but your response to that excuse is also very valid.
Yeah.
It was slippery. It rained half the day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I know that field very well. I've covered hundreds of games in that Coliseum. And it has a reputation on that grass field for getting slick, especially if it rains during the day.
Really,
and there's this old song, it never rains in Southern California, but it does rain occasionally
recently.
Here. And when it does, it gets really slick out there. And you have to be prepared for it. And my team was not prepared.
Why is that?
I don't know. Is it Jason Garrett's fault? You have to see that coming. You have to anticipate it. During pregame warm-up, you have to figure out which of the shoes work. I got to tell you, Zeke's shoes didn't work because he looked like he was running in place to me much of the night. He couldn't get traction. He couldn't get takeoff.
Our girls look good to me. CJ looked good.
They must know how to wear the right cleats, right?
Look, Skip, you only got three kinds.
I got it.
You got speed TDs, you got molded bottoms, you got seven studs.
All right. Somebody screwed that up for the Cowboys because there's no way that my defensive line gets blown off the football. They looked like they had no traction. They looked like they could not hold that line. They couldn't hold their ground.
Was DeMarcus Lawrence active for that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you tell me when you watch TV, you know, you look for guys to flash. I saw no flashes.
I saw no flashes because he talked about how he was going to take Jared Goff's soul.
I think
the offensive line of the Rams, I think it took his soul.
That's what they call him. That's what they call the offensive line. Really? I had on a T-shirt.
Really?
They called him the body snatcher.
Really?
Yeah, the body snatcher.
Soul snatcher.
Ooh, hold up. What about I ain't seen no howling. What happened to the wolf hunter?
Mm.
Gay Chris Richard had an aneurysm. Had to go to the hospital. Mm. He yelling and screaming, y'all got to get off the blocks.
I don't know.
When you see this ISO, he's lined up. We went over this in practice, son. I need you to get a share the block and make the play.
All I saw was Wolf Hunter and Jalen Smith running backwards, chasing people.
Bounce. Had them on skates, Skip.
Yeah. And would you believe, despite 273 Rams rushing yards, my quarterback fought my team back into that game because he will not quit.
You know what? Despite having the most fourth quarter come from behind wins since he's been in the NFL, despite having the highest completion percentage in his first three seasons at 61.1%, guess where he is today, Jenny? Mm. Watching Skip and Shadow Undisputed.
Yeah.
I wish he had been able to play linebacker on Saturday night because I would have had a better chance.
I wish he could have played quarterback better. Mm. That's what I wish.
266 yards passing.
What good is that?
When you only have the ball for like
24
minutes.
Them old cheap yards.
Yeah. Oh,
when they needed them.
Really?
I thought I need something in the first. I need something in the first half, Skip. I need something in the third quarter, Skip.
He got it all the way to 8 points, and you know, and I know, if they had held on that third and seven late, he gets the ball back. He's going to go win that game.
In the words of Luke,
you know it,
cheap,
and I know it.
Cheap,
you
cheap,
got so lucky.
I don't get no lucky.
You got
lucky,
and you are so relieved.
Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. If you're prepared for a night when the opportunity presents itself, good things.
Yeah. And you thought you had me because that was your second case of doom you had won on Saturday. But then guess what happened? The 41-year-old happened on Sunday and wiped you out.
I would have been willing to skip. Yep. I would have been willing to give you like 10 cases.
Mm.
I just needed the Cowboys
because
I wanted that energy.
Yep.
Every time I got sick of you for the last 8 weeks coming in here, looking into the camera, which one is my camera? Mm-hmm. Like you don't know which one is your camera. You don't know exactly.
Which one is my camera?
Oh, there's plenty of cameras to go around. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.